Well, good morning, Woodman Monument. I can see that you're here. Good morning, Woodman Monument. Okay, there we go. Like, thank you. Just like, I can see you from up here. Well, it is good to be with you today, and happy Labor Day weekend. And I know for many of you, you're just like wanting to hang on to those last few days of summer. You're not ready to release those yet. And then there's those of you who already have like pumpkins all over your front porch and you're excited about that. Just be careful. There's still some hot days coming and those will get really squishy and gross. So be careful for that. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Andrew and I'm our Woodman Monument campus pastor. And honestly, to serve in this role, to serve this church community in this way, it is something that is just a joy and a privilege for me because of who God has gathered together in this place. And I love all of you guys, and I'm thankful to be a part of the body of Christ. So as we look towards fall here, this is also a special time for us at Woodman because it's the launch and the kickoff of our ministry year. So this week to come, we're doing all of our final preparations for ministry that will take place. Next weekend is our kickoff weekend, and that following weekend, ministries and Bible studies will be starting at all of our campuses. And Sherry gave you a pretty long list of all the things that are happening, and it's incredible the things that God is doing. And I know that many of you are stepping in by faith as leaders of Bible studies, leaders of community groups, leaders of students groups, or 56, or Awana. Thank you so much for being willing to do that. We recognize that that is a step of faith, and you're doing that out of obedience, but also out of passion for leading others in God's way. Two ministries that I'm super excited about that are happening, that have been happening for several years here at Woodman Monument. Our Reengage ministry will be meeting on Monday nights during Woodman U. And Reengage is our marriage ministry. And this is fantastic if you are just a few years into marriage and you're learning about it. Or if you are 30 years into marriage and you're learning about it, this is a great ministry to be a part of, to strengthen that relationship, that sacred relationship of marriage. So there's still spots for you to sign up if you'd like to be a part of that. Now, also, our mom-to-mom ministry is a beautiful mom's mentorship program where moms with babies or middle school kids or high school kids or even older kids, they gather together with mentor moms just to share the journey of mothering and what that looks like and what it looks like from a godly perspective. So there's a few more spots in that ministry that will be taking place. But as we share about those things, these activities, these ministries, they are not just for us to have a frenzy of things happening at our campus. These are all put in place for us to draw closer in our understanding to who God is and what His Word says, for us to grow stronger as the body of Christ, to know one another and do the faith journey with each other. And ultimately, we do it by the Lord's strength and for His glory in the end. And that is the purpose behind all of these ministries that are taking place. And honestly, if you think about it, like, man, it excites me to think about how many times God's Word is going to be opened in the ministry year ahead, and His Word will not return void. How many prayers are going to be prayed and answered, and freedom that people are going to experience in this year ahead, and transformation. And I'm so excited for what God will do. Now, as a church, we've been going through Luke, and Josh has been leading us through Luke in this last ministry year ahead. And it's been challenging and encouraging to see Jesus and how He responds to those that are around Him. And this week, I had some time to read in Luke myself. And as I was reading, there was something that struck me. I was struck many times by Jesus responding to and making a comment about the faith of those that He was interacting with. So one of the instances is where these friends are so passionate about their friend who is a paralytic that they want to do whatever it takes to get him to the feet of Jesus. So they literally dig a hole in the roof of a stranger's house, lower their friend down for Jesus to heal him. And it says that Jesus saw their faith. And then later on, as Luke progresses, there's a moment where a centurion has a servant who is sick. And he sends the elders to go and talk to Jesus to see about healing his servant. And Jesus makes this comment to the centurion. He says, even in Israel, I haven't seen such great faith. And there's this woman, this sinful woman, that is washing the feet of Jesus while he is at a dinner. And Jesus says this statement to her. He says, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And so as I was looking at these different instances of Jesus commenting on the faith of these men and women, it started to really challenge me. So if I were to sit down and have a coffee with Jesus, I wonder what part of my faith he would comment on. And would he comment on, like, Andrew, I see your faith really strong in this area, but over here, what's going on? I wonder what he would say about us as the body of believers that meet in Monument, Colorado, about our faith and what that looks like. What does he see and what does he know about our faith as a body of believers here that meet in this place? Now, church, faith is truly the foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, as we look at living our lives as Jesus has called us to be, and as we look towards the future and this ministry year ahead, the call is for us to be people of faith. So I want us to look at today the faith of Abraham and what that looked like and what we can learn and how we can apply that to our faith. So let's pray and then we'll dive into God's word. Father in heaven, thank you for meeting us in this place today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your love that you pour out on us. Father, thank you that we can put our faith in you, that you are a God that can be trusted, that you will indeed keep all of your promises, that you will indeed be holy forever. Father, I pray that you'd be with us in this time as we look at your word. Would you encourage us, challenge us, draw us closer to you? And God, would you speak through me? Help me not to be a distraction in any way, but may your word go forth from my mouth into this place today. We pray this now in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. All right, so throughout Scripture, we do see time and time again men and women and young people and children who have faith that we can learn from. In this room, you are sitting right next to men and women and young people and children who have incredible faith that we can learn from, that we can inspire one another with. And so as we look at what faith is, and as we examine our faith journey, I think it's important for us to start off with, like, well, what does Scripture say faith is? And one of the best places to go for that is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So we're going to get to Genesis in a second, but let's start here. So Hebrews 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So let's hear that again, just so it sinks into our mind. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. I've been reading some A.W. Tozer this summer, and I like how he talks about faith. He says, faith is all important in the life of the soul. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith will get me anything, take me anywhere in the kingdom of God. But without faith, there can be no approach to God, no forgiveness, no deliverance, no salvation, no communion, no spiritual life at all. Faith is placing the full weight of your life on the reliability of God, trusting in Him. It's this continual and conscious and daily decision that we make. And it's not easy. It's not easy to be people who live by faith, as we'll see in some of Abraham's journey. But as I look at my faith today, as you look at your faith today, perhaps you're finding yourself in a place where you're like, wow, you know, my faith is pretty rock solid at the moment. I'm like in step with God's word, and I have daily time that I'm connecting with him, lockstep with God's spirit. I feel like my faith is in a pretty good spot. And if that's where you're at today, we praise God. And we want to continue to learn from you. And we ask that you continue to seek the Lord and live and walk by faith and keep that faith strong. Or maybe you find yourself in a place today where you look at your faith and you say, well, my faith is struggling right now really bad. I've had a bunch of things that have happened in my life that make it really hard to trust in God. In fact, I'm having a hard time trusting that he does know what's going on because everything feels chaotic right now. That might be where you're sitting at in your faith today. Well, you're in the right place, and you're among the body of Christ and friends and brothers and sisters that love you. And maybe you might find yourself somewhere in the middle of the two. Or perhaps you're finding yourself in a place today where you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus. And you're still not quite sure if you can fully trust him or if you fully understand what this gospel thing is all about. Well, I'm glad that you're here today, and I'm glad that you're in this place today. As we step into looking at Abram and Abraham, let's enter in examining our faith where we're at and seeing what we can learn about how he lived his life, about his life by faith, and how we can be inspired by that. So Abraham started off with his name Abram, and then it was changed later to Abraham as God made a covenant with him. He lived around 2,000 years before Christ, and from what we see in Scripture, he was an ordinary man, and he lived in this really prosperous city. And this city was really focused on pagan worship. In fact, they were known for worshiping the moon, hoping that if they worshiped the moon, somehow it would respond and it would change their situations for them. The moon didn't respond much for them. But he was also likely from a family that didn't necessarily understand or know what we see in the Old Testament as Yahweh. His family, his parents, his father, we see in Joshua 24:2, worshiped other gods. And so it wasn't like faith in Yahweh was something that was passed down to him. Now, he was 75 years old when God started really moving and shaking things in his life. And we look to him today not as someone that was perfect in their faith. In fact, as you read his story in Genesis, there'll be times where you're like, Abraham, really? Like, God just promised you something and then you did this? That happens in Abraham's journey. But we look at him as a model because he learned to trust God and he obediently lived. So where are we at today? We are in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. We're going to see that faith listens to the one who knows the way. And we're going to see how Abram did that. So in verse 1 of Genesis 12, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So we see that Abram listens to the one who knows the way. There was something about the posture of Abram's heart, the situation that he was in, that he had ears to hear God speaking to him, God giving him this instruction. He was attentive. He was attentive to the voice of God. And as you look at his story throughout Scripture, he continually is listening to God as God gives him instructions and directions and guides him from one direction to the next. He was attentive to the heart, and he was alert to the heart and to the voice of God. Now, if you notice something here in verse 1, God says, "Go." So there's one thing that God is telling Abram, this is what you need to do. And then if you notice five times after that, God says, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." And I think that's powerful as you think about putting faith in God, in the one who knows the way. God is telling Abram, "Go, you got to start moving, but know that I'm here. I'm going to be present with you. I'm going to start making a promise and a covenant with you, and I'm going to keep it. I'm going with you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not sending you out and then just going to leave. God is saying, I am going to be with you every step of the way as you live and step out in faith." And the beautiful thing is, this is God who knows the past, the present, and the future. God holds all time within his hands, and he will be good on his promises. He will keep his word, and he can indeed be trusted. So Abram, he listened to the one who knows the way. This summer, my family had the chance to go on a family camp, a family retreat with six other families. And we'd spend the morning and we'd have different sessions where the parents would be together for a time of teaching on parenting, marriage, and what God's word said about that. And then the kids would also be in some sessions as well. And then we'd come together after that for family team building and family challenge time. And so every day there was some kind of team building activity that we had to stop and listen to someone who was going to explain the challenge to us. And we had to learn what's the objective, what are we trying to accomplish, and then what are the rules in order to meet the objective. Now, it was incredibly important for everybody in our family to listen to all of the rules. And some days they were better listeners than others. Most of the days I got it. Some days I broke some of the rules and I wasn't listening to what the instructor was saying. But when we listened to the rules, when we listened to the objectives, we were able to accomplish the goal. And for me, that's just a reminder of how important it is to listen to the God who knows the way. And faith listens to him because he sees the past, the present, and the future. God is the one who knows where we are headed in our lives. God is the one who knows exactly what we might be facing today. God is the one who is speaking to us, whether it's about a massive transition in our life that maybe he's calling us to take a step of faith on. God is the one who might be speaking to us and guiding us on something that might seem small. Maybe it's like loving your neighbor, being patient with your kids. For many of you, inviting people into your home with community groups and inviting them in, stepping out on faith. God knows what each of our situations is, and he is willing to speak and guide us and lead us if we are willing to be people who move by faith. But we've got to have ears that hear. We've got to have ears that are ready to respond to the one who knows the way. Now for Abram, it was only by listening to God that he actually knew to move or where to go. And we're going to see that faith obeys even before it understands. So look at Genesis 12 and verse 4, what happens here. In verse 4, those first three words, so Abram went. He obeys. He obeys necessarily before he fully understands. You know, for him, if I was Abram in this situation, man, I would have had a lot of questions like, okay, so where am I going? And what time do I need to be there? And what all can I bring? Can I bring my nephew Lot or not? Is he going to cause a problem? What do you want me to do? And then what's going to happen each day? What's the timeline on this? But in verse 4, it just says, so Abram went. He was willing to obey before he fully understood. And man, if he fully knew all the things that were going to come, maybe he wouldn't have been willing to go. I don't know. But for Abram, he was willing to obey and do what God was asking him to do. Last fall, I had one of our seniors in high school reached out to me and said, Andrew, I've got questions. I want to talk to you about what faith looks like. And I was like, okay, let's do this. Let's meet in 1979 coffee shop. And so for about 3 hours, he grilled me on every aspect that he could think of, things that he was personally thinking about that he didn't agree with, about the Bible and about God and about Jesus, things that maybe he had looked up online, how to stump a pastor, maybe looked up some of those things. And he hit all of those things, and we talked. We talked for like 3 hours, and he said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe this book. But I want to. Can you talk me through this? And so we talked for 3 hours. And there were some things that I said that I think resonated with him. And praise God, it wasn't me and necessarily my ideas, but it's God's spirit flowing through me. There were some things that I said that I don't think were necessarily answers that he was looking for. Like questions about why would God this and this and what is God thinking? I actually don't know the mind of God. In fact, I don't necessarily want to know the mind of God because I don't think I can handle it. But it was interesting. As time went on, he continued to come and sit in these chairs. He continued to listen. And eventually, he got to the point where he's like, you know what? I don't necessarily understand every single facet, but I have faith that God is a God who does keep his promises. I have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and that he rose again, and I want to put my faith in him. And he made that decision to follow Jesus. And this last spring, he sent me a text one weekend. I think it was after Josh was preaching on Luke 9 as Jesus was sending out the 12. And he sent me a text that Monday afternoon. He said, hey, Andrew, you know how the pastor said on Sunday that we as like followers of Jesus, we're supposed to go proclaim the gospel, right? That's what he said, and that's what God's word said, right? And I was like, yeah, that's what it said. And he said, okay, well, I was sitting in Starbucks, and I saw a guy across the coffee shop, and I knew that I was supposed to share the gospel with him. So I got up and walked across the coffee shop, and my heart was just beating and thumping, and I walked over to him and introduced myself, shared the gospel with him, prayed, turned around. In my mind, I was saying, what just happened? And he went back, and he sat down, and he said, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians and followers of Jesus, right? And I said, yes, that's right. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And man, that to me is an example of what it looks like to obey before we might necessarily understand and know all the implications of what that might look like. A powerful challenge. You know, obedience, it's terrifying at times because we have to step outside what might feel comfortable. We might have to step outside of the norm or our comfort zone. But when we do, we can know that we have a God who will. A God who is present, a God who will walk with us. And to be people who live by faith, we release sometimes those questions that we might not have the answer to. We release those and we trust God and we live in faithful obedience. And as we live and obey by faith, those who choose to live by faith keep moving. They keep moving forward. And we're going to see this in Abram's life. So Genesis chapter 17 and verse 2. Now this is the moment where his name goes from Abram to Abraham, actually. And covenant happens between him and God. So God says to him, Genesis 17, verse 1. He says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and multiply you greatly. So God is calling him to not just a one-time act of faith, not just that one move when he left his homeland, everything he knew. He is calling him to something continual. Walk by faith, not just make that step of faith and then stop, but let it be something that continues to move forward. Be someone that walks in and follows in faith. And we see that, like I said before, throughout Abraham's life in Scripture, that he was a man who continued to respond to God's calling, no matter what his age might be. Do you know he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, when God fulfilled that promise to give him a son? Abraham didn't choose to just sit back and say, okay, well, I've done it. I made that step of faith. Now, like, I'm just going to kind of kick back and watch everyone else and coach them in their faith. No, he continued to be a man who lived by faith. I think some of you might know a little bit of the story of my mom. And several years ago, my mom passed away really unexpectedly. And she was 77 years old. But there was something that has left a forever impression on my heart about that morning when she passed away. So it was a Sunday morning, and we were actually getting ready to serve in Woodman Kids here, my wife and I. And we got a call that my mom had passed. And it was something that we were not expecting at all. And so we rushed over to their house, and something powerful that I observed. So that morning, it was Sunday morning, my mom had gotten up, gotten herself ready to go to church, and she was all dressed. In fact, that morning, she was going to be having a little booth in the lobby, trying to encourage people to help teach English to those where English was their second language using the Bible. In fact, she had already made the dish for potluck that day, and it was already in the back of her car. And something happened. She had a heart attack, likely, or stroke, and she passed away that morning. But the thing that has stuck out to me and forever will and be in my heart is the fact that she didn't ever give up with her faith. She continued going, even that morning, with whatever was happening with her physically. She was ready to go and faithfully gather with the saints. And she was ready to go and encourage other people to share the gospel with people around them. Powerful testimony of what it looks like to keep going and not give up. And that will forever stick in my mind and heart, her journey of faith that she kept going. One author says, faith is not a once done act, but it's a continuous gaze of the heart towards the triune God. So hear that again. Faith is not a once done act, but it's a continuous gaze of the heart at the triune God. Faith keeps moving and keeps going. Church, I wonder what God is challenging us today as a collective body, but also as individuals. What is God calling us to keep moving on in our faith? How is he prompting us to make that step of faith, whether it be something that might seem small or whether it might seem huge? Both are a significant and important step of faith. We see Abraham in his life, how as he chose to live by faith, he was passing on a legacy of faith. So faith leaves a generational legacy, and it must be passed on from one generation to the next. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8, there's a really powerful moment that happens here. So God had promised to give Abraham a son, Isaac, and he has Isaac now. And now they're getting ready to go make a sacrifice. And Isaac does not know that God has told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac. So he is going with his father. They have all of the items that they need for this sacrifice. And look what he says. He turns to Abraham. He's looking at what's going on. And something feels a little bit off. In verse 7 of Genesis 22, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father, he said, here I am, son, said Abraham. Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. Now, something that's significant here is the fact that Isaac has been with his father and noticed his father's faith in other circumstances. This is not the first time that he's gone with his father to see a sacrifice happen. And that's how he's able to say, like, something's missing. Dad, I've gone with you before when you've made sacrifices, but we're missing something here. And Abraham, as hard as it is for him in this moment, like, this has got to be one of the most pivotal moments that God is calling him to respond in faith, to go sacrifice his son, Isaac. And he's willing to do it. He's moving forward, even though I can't even imagine what is happening in his heart at this time. And he responds to Isaac saying, God will provide. The Lord will provide. And he doesn't respond saying, like, I don't know, let's just see how this pans out. But he responds in confidence, even though at the same time, his heart is probably breaking. I don't know how this is gonna pan out. And as you carry on in the story, you see that there is a ram that is caught in the bushes. So Abraham doesn't, in the end, sacrifice Isaac, but they sacrifice the lamb together. But because of what Isaac saw in his father, it passed on faith to the next generation. Isaac passes it on to Jacob. Jacob passes it on to Judah from one generation to the next. And even us sitting in this room today, we are being impacted and we are benefiting from the faith of Abraham. When our family spent some time in New Zealand working at a church over there, there was a lady who came in the doors one weekend, and her name was Jazz. And as we spent time getting to know her and hear her story, We learned that Jazz was someone who didn't grow up learning about Jesus. She didn't grow up in the church. The Bible wasn't read in her home on a daily basis. There wasn't a generation from one to the next teaching about who God was. In fact, the way that she was living her life was pretty far away from what God had called her to live her life. But over time, we spent time sharing the gospel with her, sharing who Jesus was, sharing what God's way looked like for her and applying that to her life. And for her, that was some pretty major life changes that she had to make. And eventually she got to the point where she's like, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to do his way over my way. And she became a follower, a Christian, our sister in Christ today. Now Jazz has a son. And he was born a few years after we met her. And as you know, it's been about 10 years since we were there working with that church. And on our trip this last month, we got to worship and fellowship with the church there. And her son's name is Ezekiel. And Jazz has been walking with Ezekiel, teaching him the ways of the Lord, teaching him what it looks like to gather with the body of believers, and teaching him what it looks like to follow Jesus. And one of the Sundays while we were there after service, he came up to me and he said, you know what, I'm ready. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus, to follow him and to make that commitment and be a man who follows after Jesus. And I was so excited to hear those words from him. And even that same morning, he's like, and I need to be baptized. This is what scripture says, so let's do this. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And he said, let's do it now. And I was like, okay. So we wrapped up and we went to the ocean and he was baptized that afternoon. But for me, that's just a powerful illustration and demonstration of what faith looks like being passed on from one generation to the next. And now her son is following Jesus and has given his life to her, to Jesus. Church, my desire is to pass that on to the generations to come, whether it be my own kids, whether it be the younger generation here at Woodman Valley Chapel Monument. We have an opportunity and a responsibility to model what faith looks like, and help God's word be planted in the hearts of young people here so that as they grow up, they will follow in the ways of the Lord. And that's my prayer for us as we gather in this place for the generations that come after us. But as we truly pass on faith to the next generation, it's so important that they don't look to us and admire us for faith, but that ultimately they are giving glory to God and have relationship with him. Because faith points people to God's glory and not our own. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, there's a statement that Paul is making about Abraham. And here he says, no unbelief made him, this is Abraham, waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised to do. Faith points people to God's glory, not our own. And you see in that passage, as Abraham is used as an example of faith, one, he grew stronger in his faith. So it was stronger and stronger as he carried on in his journey. But ultimately, he gave glory to God. And that's the challenge for each of us in our faith, that it's not us at all. But as people might look at our faith or the faith of Woodman Monument, that God's glory would be the one that is reflected, that he would be praised, and that it would be through his strength. Church, we serve a God that knows yesterday, he knows today, and he knows tomorrow. We must be people who live by faith as we have committed to be followers of Jesus. We must be people who live in full faith, whether it's something that might feel like a small decision that we're making at work or at school, with our kids, with our spouse, or whether it's a massive change that we might be going through. We must choose to be people by faith. You know, maybe you are sitting in that place today where your faith is stronger than ever. Praise God for that. Continue to keep going. Continue to keep living by faith, listening to God's voice, listening to God's Spirit, being a man or a woman or a young person that lives by faith. Or maybe if you are in that spot where you are struggling in your faith, man, this is a safe place here where we want to walk with you. We want to go the journey with you. We want to hear what's going on as you might be stepping into challenges. We want to support you and even hold your arms up in the struggle and help point you to what God is saying about whatever situation you are facing. But move forward in faith. Or maybe you're in a place where you still have not yet put your faith in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. He came to this earth, he died, rose again 3 days later. And as you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life, you receive forgiveness of your sins. He then gets to be the one that guides you every step of the way. You receive salvation of your soul. And I encourage you, if this is the day for you to make that commitment to follow him, and I challenge you that this might be the day, please respond in faith to trust him as the Lord of your life. Well, church, as we choose to live as people of faith, may we be people who listen to the one who knows the way. Let's be people who obey before we fully understand. People that keep moving in faith and keep trusting. People who leave a generational legacy for the generations to come and choose to point people to God's glory and not our own. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty of men and women in Scripture who lived by faith. And Father, I pray that we'd be inspired by their faith and motivated by them. Father, I pray that for us here at Woodman Monument, each of us individually would be willing to take steps of faith and live as you have called us to. Help us to have ears that hear. And may we as a collective body be people who are faithful, putting our trust in you as the God who knows the past, the present, and the future. We know that we can trust you and your promises and that you are good on your promises. Father, we love you, and we pray all this now in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen, church. If you're